Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. As we close out our study of Luke chapter 11 with this study, we'll be reading verses 53 and 54. The message is titled, That They Might Accuse Him. This is Pastor Greg welcoming you to our study. And as requested, we provide contact information to our radio listeners. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to us by email at bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also send your message along with any check or money order contributions that you would like to send to support this ministry by addressing those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also donate on our website at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. And now we begin with the current events update and then our study of Luke chapter 11 verses 53 and 54 titled That They Might Accuse Him. This is part one of two.
All right, our current events update. CRT, known as critical race theory, is being challenged by courageous parents. And I just want to show you this one in particular.
My name is Keisha King. I'm a mom of two.
Keisha
one who's
King.
In the Duval County Public School System and one in private school thanks to school choice. I'm also a member of Moms for Liberty, representing thousands of parents. Just coming off of May 31st, marking the 100 years of the Tulsa riots, it is sad that we are even contemplating something like critical race theory, where children will be separated by their skin color and deemed permanently oppressors or oppressed in 2021. That is not teaching the truth, unless you believe that whites are better than blacks. I have personally heard teachers teaching CRT, and we have had an assembly shut down because Duval County Public School System consultant thought it would be a great idea to separate students by race. This is unacceptable. CRT is not racial sensitivity or simply teaching unfavorable American history or teaching Jim Crow history. CRT is deeper and more dangerous than that. CRT, in its outworking today, is a teaching that there is a hierarchy in society where white, male, heterosexual, able-bodied people are deemed the oppressor, and anyone else outside of that status is oppressed. That's why we see corporations like Coca-Cola asking their employees to be less white, which is ridiculous. I don't know about you, but telling my child or any child that they are in a permanent oppressed status in America because they are black is racist, and saying that white people are automatically above me, my children, or any child is racist as well. This is not something that we can stand for in our country. And don't take it from me. Look at the writers of these types of publications. Our ancestors, white, black, and others, hung, bled, and died right alongside each other to push America towards that more perfect union. If this continues, we will look back and be responsible for the dismantling of the greatest country in the world by reverting to teaching hate and that race is a determining factor on where your destiny lies. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
So critical race theory is the icing on the cake of the progressive agenda in government public schools. As I said, we thought we got rid of segregation, and now they're segregating in the name of critical race theory, and they're teaching people, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. Said that he dreamed of a day when a man would not be judged by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. Critical race theory is telling you Martin Luther King Jr. was wrong, and that we have to continue judging by skin color. And well, we're going to see in a minute. I appreciate any time anybody says something true, and what Martin Luther King Jr. said was true. But that, beyond that, the Bible says otherwise. The Bible says you shouldn't be judging people by the color of their skin. So the bottom line of critical race theory, instead of colorblind, CRT promotes being race-based and judging things based on race. This contradicts the biblical standard that we're to have, and this is something we can only insist upon in our own homes and in our own churches. But we do insist the Bible be followed among Christians, where we're told in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So we're going to treat you the same, no matter what your skin color, no matter what country you came from, no matter what your gender, sex, whatever line of separation they're using today, we're going to ignore those lines, and we're going to continue to follow the Scripture. And this is setting a stage for the end times, by the way. Jesus predicted this kind of ethnic upheaval in Luke 21:10, the first part of that verse. He said unto them, nation shall rise against nation. And he also says kingdom against kingdom. Well, kingdom is the country you come from. Nation is your ethnicity. And there are times when kingdoms have been ethnic-based, but they're still not the exact same thing. And so you take the Bible as it's written. Biblical nations are ethnic, and kingdoms are political-based, government-based type of delineations. So we have 1, 2, 3 headline reviews quickly. Number one, pro-life group has called for Fauci to be fired over NIAID funding of barbaric experiments on aborted babies. Doesn't that surprise you? Pro-lifers are seeking to hold him accountable for his role in providing funding to the University of Pittsburgh, which was used to perform experiments on aborted babies. The progressives, folks, have the same spirit that the Nazis and the communists and the Antichrist. Sex is a biological fact and immutable, which is a fact. A British woman who lost her job over transgender views has won on appeal. I think last week we showed the coach at a school who had been fired because he refused to call a man a woman, or a woman a man, or whatever. He got his job back, and that was here in the United States. This is over in England. But she had lost her job stating that sex is a biological fact and immutable, which happens to be true. But the battle is endless. We're going to see this week after week, but the war will be won. Sodom and all who join themselves with Sodom will be destroyed. We love you enough to warn you, remember Lot's wife.
Yep. Amen.
And that's what all these people who are going along with the Pride Month thing, going along with the Pride parades all over the country and all over the world, they may not be active homosexuals. They may not be living the sodomite lifestyle. But Romans 1:32 says they are worthy of death, just like those committing the sins. And if you don't repent, you will pay the wages of sin, which is death. And we call on all these people. We don't hate them. We don't wish hell on them. We call on them to do what we did. We as sinners repented. I didn't walk up and down the street proud of my wickedness. I repented. Let alone the fact we've read recently what God thinks of pride in the first place. He hates it. God does not have anything to do with Pride Month and Pride parades. God loves humility. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. And our third and final headline here, review is just some good news. It's just always good to see the Bible being confirmed over and over and over. They found an arrowhead from a biblical battle in Goliath's hometown. They found an arrowhead that was made of bone, and it was, and I'm not even sure that's the exact same one, by the way. That's what they had on their report. Yeah, file photo. But the bone arrowhead had marks showing that it had been used in battle, and it happened to be where they were excavating, where a battle had taken place. And it was just 1,000 yards away where they, from where they believe it was actually constructed, as far as the arrow and everything. And the story says, furthermore, archaeological excavations at Gath in modern-day Israel show that the ancient city was destroyed in the 9th century B.C., around the same time of Hazael's invasion. Confirming the Bible, in other words. And there's just time after time, these archaeologists turn the spade and discover something that confirms that the Bible is true. And that all these guys on your History Channel, all these guys on PBS, all these guys in the liberal apostate seminaries and even at OSU, amen, are bearing false witness against the Bible.
Yep.
When they claim that the Bible has errors and the Bible isn't trustworthy, they lie.
Amen.
So keep that in mind as you hear this stuff. You can trust your Bible. And we specify King James Version, and we have some pamphlets and things over here to help you, but we also have a DVD with called New Versions or Vatican Versions. We're almost 2 hours where we lay out the information on that. So the Bible is proven true over and over and over.
Amen.
We said this last week. These current event updates are to help you discern the times. Learn, and by learning, you can then learn to discern. What is it Bob Burney says on his radio program? LTD.
Listen, think, discern.
There's a few of you listen. Yeah. It's a good program to listen to. I mean, if you got a radio. Some people don't even have radios anymore. You can listen online, too. But anyway, I'm amazed. There's so many attacks against God's Word today, and it's so bogus. And I hope to very soon begin to put little 5-minute videos up for people to just help them understand why the Bible is true. And we don't want anybody. There's two or three of you here who come recently, and you had your new version with you. You know, a couple of you. And we just want you to understand, as we say, we love you enough to tell you the truth. But we don't have any hard feelings towards somebody. I used to preach out of the NIV, but we want you to know the truth. We just want to tell you the truth. And I was saying this earlier, just a few minutes ago, but this week, someone had contacted me who had been contacting us over these Bible version issues, and at first thought we were crazy. But they took the time to investigate. And I challenge anyone here who, some of you may even say, well, I'm King James only, but you don't understand the issue. You ought to understand the issue. There's reasons for not being, and I don't say this with any disrespect, but we've all been suckers. The Bible publishing industry is a scam. They get the different copyrights on all your different Bible versions, and number one, it doesn't have anything to do with making it easier to read. You can get lists of every one of those new versions using archaic terms. Why do they do that? They have to make a certain number of changes in order to get the copyright so they can get all the money.
Yep.
The love of money is the root of all evil. Amen?
Amen?
The other thing is this, and I challenge everybody on this. Anything you read, if it's easier to read, that means nothing unless it's correct.
Yep.
You want to know why the other churches are going to hell? They decided they would rather read something easier to read rather than having the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we need a generation here in the last days. We need a remnant who will say only the truth. Don't give me anything except for the truth.
Amen.
Whether it's the Bible version you read or the preaching you're hearing, if I step on your toes and I'm not being biblical, ignore me. But if I'm stepping on your toes and I'm picking on your pet sin, you know what you're supposed to do? I thank God I was sitting in a pew back in 1990 and a preacher stepped all over my toes. And God convicted me and I repented and it changed my life.
Amen.
I was already saved. I'm glad somebody stepped on my toes and told me I was going to hell and need to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
But then even after that, I'm sitting in the pew and this guy's preaching on this and I thought, my grandma must have called him and told him something. You know, my mom must know this guy. How's he? He's picking right on me. He didn't know me from Adam, but he was just preaching the Bible. God hold me good. And that's our goal here today. We're going to be in, as I said, Luke 11, the last two verses, that they might accuse him. Luke 11:53 and 54. give you just a second to get there. We're going to close out chapter 11, and we'll see the motive of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The last three studies, we've dealt with the seven woes. There were four to the Pharisees and four to the scribes and lawyers. You say, well, that 4 + 4 = 8, Charlie. It's because that fourth one they shared. The fourth one was to both. And so there's a total of 7. And so that's where we... And then last study, if you missed that, it's on the martyrs. It's online. And Jesus basically accused them of being the murderers of the martyrs and in their fathers and in themselves. And he knew they were going to be the ones to have him killed. So let's read verses 53 and 54 where we pick up. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Amen? Amen. So they're intent on destroying Jesus. And we're going to see this more and more from this point on. They hate Jesus. And remember that when people... When you're taking a stand for what's right, you're preaching the gospel, you're telling people what the Bible teaches, you're standing with Jesus, and somebody hates you, remember Jesus said, they don't really hate you. They hate me. And because you're standing up for me, they hate you. And so these Pharisees and scribes and lawyers and the Sadducees also, they hate Jesus, and they're not only going to kill Jesus, they're going to be behind a lot of the martyrs, including Stephen in Acts 7, being killed. So first, let's start with the conclusion. That always makes sense. Amen? That's how Jenny likes to watch movies and read books. So we're watching a movie together. I'm like, if you look that up, you keep it to yourself. I do not want to know the end. She looks at me like, why? I'm like, that's the whole reason I watched the rest of the movie. That's just, certain people are like that, and I love you in spite of it. Amen. I love her. I love her. But it's that they might accuse him. Look at verse 54. Those last five words, that they might accuse him. That is the motive behind what they're doing here. Really, reality check rerun. Most who contact me are not interested in the truth. We said this before. But have their own agenda. And I always tell, because let's say you come up and ask me a question. And let's say you come up and say, I'm having trouble bringing up the app on my phone. And I said, well, let me see your phone there. And I take you to the app store and I show you where it's at. And you hit, now I let you, but you got to hit the download or whatever it says and then install it. Oh, okay. And that's it. So obviously you came with an agenda of getting the app downloaded on your phone, right? But if you hand me that phone and you say, well, I'm having trouble getting this app downloaded, and I start to tell you and you grab and say, well, wait a minute, well, what about this app? Have you ever seen this app? Well, yeah, but I can show you how to get that other app. But wait a minute, what about this? And you keep changing the subject on me. That tells me you're really, for some reason, not interested in getting that app. You're trying to prove some other point or whatever it is. Well, these guys are asking questions and they're not really interested in the answers. And I have people, let's use the issue of repentance. There are, believe it or not, people today who say that you shouldn't call on men and women to repent and believe the gospel. You just ask them to admit they're a sinner and whether or not they'd like to be saved from that sin. Well, there's a problem with that. I've looked long and hard and I can't find anywhere where the Bible shows Jesus, Paul, any of the apostles calling on someone to admit they're a sinner. It's not there. You do have to admit you're a sinner if you're going to repent. But the idea is not that Christ died for your unbelief. And that's how they'll present the gospel. That you're just an unbeliever, so you need to believe the gospel. Wait a minute. Christ died for our sins. And so they'll say, well, you're teaching works. I said, well, no, I'm not. The Bible says repentance is not a work. Oh, it is too. It's something you do. Well, it's something I do as a result of a work God does in me. And then I'll start to show them in the scripture that when you receive the word of God, then God then produces in you repentance. And if all you have to do is go along with what God's doing in you, basically, it's the way of describing it. But wait a minute. If that's true, then God repented, and that would mean he's a sinner. And I'm like, wait a minute now. And he's going into all the, and they just keep going from one thing to another. And every answer you give them, they don't care about the answer. They just jump to the next question. And they'll go on, and they don't ever care about the truth. That's what they're going to do to Jesus here. We must understand this and use wisdom when dealing with those who challenge our faith. When I've spent months talking to somebody, I've gone over the gospel more times than I can count. I can look around the people in this room who went over the gospel with this same person and refusing to accept anything given as far as facts to back up the scripture and the gospel, and then turns around and says, I'm a liar, and starts calling people and setting up dinner dates and coffee dates so he can try to turn you against me. Well, I kind of get the idea. A few of you used a little wisdom there, or you wouldn't be here. Yes. Amen. That's the reality. Folks, it ain't nothing new. I get this all the time. And I can always tell when someone cares about an issue. You know how they care? Because when I hand them some kind of material or, you know, point to a book if they can read, which most people can, point to a DVD, give them a tract or a, you know, whatever, they will take time to look at that and have a discussion. They'll ask questions. But when I give materials or refer someone to materials and they just totally ignore it and keep coming back asking the same questions, even though I've given them the material that we can discuss, but I've already given you the answer right there, that just tells me you don't care. When I first got saved, somebody came to me and wanted me to go to a Bible study so I could be discipled. And I had a friend who was invited to that same Bible study. I went. He didn't. Who do you think cared? At that time, I did. At that time, he didn't. Sadly, since then, I don't think he ever did care. That's just the difference. If you care, then you'll put forth some effort. Salvation is free. But if you want to learn and grow, the Bible says to study, which is work. You can't just by osmosis lay your head on your Bible and wake up tomorrow knowing it all. And it says study to show yourself approved unto God, a that's that four-letter word again, work. Oh, you don't work to be saved, you work because you are saved. Amen? And if you don't want to put any work into it, you're not going to learn the Bible, Rick.
Dealing with that similar kind of setup where it doesn't matter what you say or what you present, like with Black Lives Matter, critical race theory.
Yes.
You say all lives matter, their point is you're wrong and you're racist.
Yeah.
You say the critical race theory is teaching people something they shouldn't be taught, they tell you you're wrong. It doesn't matter what your point is, they're going to stay where they're at to keep you trapped. I mean, it's like the trick question, when did you stop beating your wife?
Right.
Or Groucho Marx say, are you married or happy?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just those kinds
both.
Of, those, yeah, there's those kind of trick questions that kind of put you in a spot where you don't win.
Which is what we're going to see from these guys with Jesus. They're going to take money and say, should you pay taxes? Remember that?
Right.
His answer blew them away and they stopped asking. They're going to ask him about the lady who was married, what, five times? Whose husband will she be in the resurrection? It's a bunch of guys called Sadducees. Well, he was joked they're Sadducee because they don't believe in the resurrection. So they're asking Jesus a question about something they don't even believe in order to try to catch him. And you get it all the time. Look over Proverbs 26. This is another thing. Some people never deal with these people at all. They just believe in walking away from them. But that's not the right answer either. Jesus doesn't walk away and never talk to him again. Look at Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. And this is another one of these places where people say it's a contradiction in the Bible. And it's not. Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. Now watch, listen closely. I got to read this. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Then the next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. There are some people who want to find contradictions in the Bible, and this is one they grasp hold on to. It's not a contradiction. It just means there's a different way to handle different people, even a fool to a fool.
Yeah.
In Ruckman's...